And we're live again at the Behind the Paywall Factory. It's Ballin' Out Gundam Times. Ready?
Go!
It's our tale of the tape with your fighters here on my right, the masked bandito, Jeremy Hammond.
I'm wearing a mask, but it's in Spanish. It's in Spanish. I'm the bad guy. I'm the heel.
Belong in prison, masked bandito.
You robbed those orphans. Boo.
Eat shit and die.
Boo. Get out of here. This is my city. You're not from the city.
And from the posh part of town, it's the governess herself, Katie Rose Leon.
I see there's many low-class
gentlemen here who don't even know how to speak proper German.
There are people dying in this plague, governess.
Oh, yes. Well, maybe they should have tried to eat more cake.
Boo!
With the correct form. Yes,
we don't all
yes,
own
yes.
land. Boo.
Go to hell.
Manners are important.
I hope the bandito gives you the guillotine.
I'm going to give him the old homeschooling.
That's right. The bandito is a face now.
Yeah. And I'm your humble narrator as usual, Bruce Buffer. Let's go. That's Bruce Buffer's catchphrase. Let's go.
You got to do like a Mean Gene thing. Be like, I'm here with the masked bandito himself. And then
with the masked bandito himself. Bandito, what do you plan to do to governess tonight?
I'm going to...
I think we've heard enough of this.
I'm going to cut her face off. I'm going to cut her face off so then I'm not the only one whose face is not present for this fight.
Wow, just like his character that wears a mask, governess won't be wearing a face, you're saying?
That's right. Nobody will be able to tell who either of us are.
You're one twisted bandito.
That's right.
Now over here in the other corner, governess, I'm hearing here that bandito has not worked a job in 10 years and has 7 kids. What does that make you feel?
You know, the people are out here in the streets saying they need handouts, they need food stamps and rent freezes, yet I see that he is wearing a pair of shoes with nary a hole in them. How do you explain that, bandito?
In an excellent triangulation from the governess. Let's see him get out of this one.
I don't think Jeremy's prepared for this level of improvisation, but yeah, always ready to cut a promo, baby. Day or night, let's go!
Always ready. KRL, always ready to cut
I'm
a promo.
Ready.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
Put it on your grave.
That's right, bitch.
Okay.
What was it, holes in my shoes?
Yeah, that was going to be on your grave. It was going to be... You go to your grave. And it says, Jeremy Hammond, there's holes in my shoes. No dates.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Dead to me.
Yeah, sorry,
R.I.P. Dead to me.
I got distracted because my mom texted me, did you watch Tiger King?
Oh, shit. I forgot I was supposed to text my mom some bullshit.
Yeah, no, I can't engage at this level with my mother. I can't tell her all of my Bhagavan.
Right, how do you feel about moms texting these days?
My mom's not so bad, but my father is a deep well of complicated emotions for me.
Oh, right, because he's a background actor and stuff.
Well, I just mean, so since the quarantine went down, he has called me like 3 times a day, every day, to basically regurgitate the same conversation, which is, this is bad. Things are bad. Let me list all the bad things in order. And it's like,
You seem like you're concerned. What if I freak out to you?
Yes. multiple times a day. If I don't pick up my phone, he sends me several text messages like, are you okay? And I'm like, I haven't left the house in 2 weeks. What could I have done besides get really, really high? Like, that's
get
all that's
super
happening.
Fucking high. Like,
that's all that's happening.
Katie, I'm worried about your Animal Crossing island. You need to come home.
I know. He keeps trying to get me to come shelter in place at Long Island. And I'm like, I can't
your
think
dad,
of a
madness.
Worst situation to be
your
in.
Dad is trying to get your Animal Crossing guy to come shelter on his island.
Dude, my mom's doing the same thing. She keeps trying to get me to come out to Long Island. It's like, I don't understand. Like, I can't figure out how to communicate to her that that would be simply worse in every possible way. Not only for my own psyche, but additionally for Long Island's health.
Right.
People from New York City go out to Long Island could not be a worse idea.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're going to really affect their certain doom in this situation, but it would be way worse for you. And I think that is an important factor.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
But again,
so what if instead of having sex, you fought with your mother?
Basically.
Yeah, what if
there's
your
still
quarantine
a plague,
was
keep
wildly
in mind.
Different?
I can tell who either went to their parents' house or don't get along with their spouses because everything immediately stopped being horny when people had to go to their parents' houses.
I got a great scoop on this.
Ooh.
A friend of the show, Zane Galea, got a bunch of nervous phone calls with his girlfriend a few weeks ago.
Oh, he's got a girlfriend now?
And so, yeah, he has a girlfriend who works with him at the cheese shop.
Ooh, and, cheese plays
for you,
romance.
Zane.
It's a classic dairy romance. But
man, I'm so glad we added the Zane update segment to Ballin' Out Gundam Time.
This is what Zane is up to. And so the guy who made the Jonathan Frakes video 6 months ago, that guy, or maybe it was even a year ago, but either way, I mean, we'll never forget him.
Whatever.
And
behind the paywall, everybody knows Zane.
Everybody knows Zane behind the paywall. And if you're new, learn about Zane.
Favorite
Come
guest
on.
Of the show, Zane Galea.
Preferred guest, Zane.
I should see if he can do one of these, because he is not in New York. This is,
love
I mean, I didn't
Zane
get
back.
To the story.
Okay, yeah, please.
Okay, wait, so there is a twist in it. So Zane does not have a car, because he's been in New York for a while. So he rents a truck, puts all of his stuff in this truck with his girlfriend, and is planning to drive across America to Texas to go shelter in place with her family.
No.
And so they're just picking up boxes, putting them in a truck.
How is that better? How is that better? Also, are they letting people leave New York?
Well, it involves
right now?
A road trip. They're not going to stop you from leaving.
I don't know. I've heard
like,
of cops
what are they gonna, like,
pulling over people in other states.
I don't know. I've only heard about that from you, so I really can't say I have a reliable source on this. But I can tell you that putting the last box in the car, they both stood back and put their hands on their hips, and they're like, what the fuck are we doing right now? And they drove to Buffalo to stay at his brother's. So that's where Zane is. Zane update.
Okay. That
Zane's,
makes
I think, in Buffalo or Rochester or one of those fucking
less.
New York cities.
Still, like, kind of a lot, but it makes more sense than driving all the way to fucking Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you should not leave if you're in New York City. You will infect other areas, but he did it a few weeks ago.
Just stay here and just, like, die.
Just stay and die, cowards.
Yeah, this is how it's gotta be, guys. I'm sorry, you can't be with
if you're listening,
you're gonna have
if
to die
you're
alone.
Listening to an anime podcast, especially a premium episode that you pay for, you should know you live a life without regrets. That is the only rule, is you meditate on your death and you die by the blade. Coronavirus.
Man, so Zane is dating someone he's that serious with that he's like sheltering in place with her.
Yeah, I think it's just like if you're in a relationship of
what
any kind
do?
Of stability,
yeah.
you would rather, you know, tag team with them than with some other fuck if you get the option.
Or just nobody. That's also an option. There's a lot of people who just live fully alone in like one bedroom.
See, that seems like a way to go fully insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that's a lot of people can't help it, but what I liked when China ended their quarantine, apparently 80 couples immediately filed for divorce, which I find very funny.
Can't wait. Can't wait. See,
you can only imagine the slapstick, Curb Your Enthusiasm routines flowing throughout the Wuhan region.
I'm just saying, in that first week, there was a lot of comedy couple videos, and now I'm not seeing a lot of those.
Nice.
Alyssa Limparis, where is Luke Mahnez? Where are you hiding Luke Mahnez? He's 7 feet tall.
Listen, we're all thinking of very specific comedy couples that we hope are sad.
Let's name them.
Nope. We will do it off mic.
I know we're behind the paywall, but we're not behind enough of a paywall.
Right. We'll need more. It's
we need several like more paywalls.
In Evangelion, where they have like 50 helms, but they need 51 helms. Is that Evangelion or the Titanic? My brain is fucked.
There's no helms in the Titanic.
Hulls.
There's two hulls on the Titanic. It's like a double layered hull, and then there's a bunch of watertight compartments in the bottom, but they're not really watertight because they don't have tops.
Really? What other features are there in the Titanic?
No.
I can tell you one
Zane
of the
Update segment flowing flawlessly into our Titanic recap.
Not that desperate for human conversation. I'll just mute you guys right now.
Don't you dare, Katie. Don't you dare.
Damn. Well, we can talk about the Tiger King more. Katie, did you watch Tiger King?
No, I haven't watched it yet, but I've been following that guy for years.
Yeah, I know you were a fan of Joe Exotic back in the day.
Yeah, when,
but this has a lot of scoops on him, Katie. I think
There's
it might be worth your time.
No,
I
get
Exotic. I 1,000% want to watch it. I just haven't gotten around to
There's
it.
There's a lot of new characters in it, too, outside of Joe Exotic. Because Joe Exotic ends up being kind of like, by the end, I feel like he's a peripheral character to several more way wilder characters.
Specifically thinking of one.
Well, so, but I wanted to bring this up because I watched an interview. I've gotten very into Doc Antle, and now I believe he was done dirty by Tiger King.
Doc Antle was done dirty by Tiger King?
Yeah, man. They really portrayed him in a very negative light. And my man, I watched an interview with him. He apparently, several of the people that the show portrays as his many polygamist wives are like his grandchildren.
Oh no.
And he's like, no, I'm not in a romantic relationship with them. You just found young women to put around me and say were my wives.
Well,
but
he might
wait,
be lying.
In pictures
he could
together.
Very well be lying.
Yeah, because like when there was the polygamist raids on the compounds in Utah that in Nevada, I mean that's what they said to try and stop from being arrested.
Listen, I'm totally...
Wait, are you not allowed to do polygamy in Utah?
You're not allowed to do polygamy, period. It's technically illegal.
Yeah, you can't do
polygamy. Even if you're a Bhagavan?
What?
Yes, even if you're a Bhagavan, yeah.
Bhagavan?
What?
But the point is, yeah, obviously Bhagavan could be lying.
But also like
the
a lot...
filmmaker also seems like a total dirtbag, so I don't know. Like it's really
read...
anyone's game here.
Dude, he has too many fucking posed pictures with those 13 women wearing coordinating outfits for me to assume anything else. I am sorry.
But also, I was reading on the filmmaker himself, and that's also why I haven't watched it yet. He's like mad shady.
Yeah.
He's opened a bunch of like clubs and stuff. Anyone opening clubs
yeah,
is
you open a club,
shady.
Get lost.
Yeah, no.
Get out of here.
Anyone,
if you're doing anything except exposing the underworld of tiger ownership to me, you can take a hike.
Dude, what's crazy about him though is that he's super into like exotic reptile ownership. Like
the
he's
filmmaker?
Out here, yeah, the filmmaker. He's out here making this movie about fucking tiger people when he's out there like owning exotic ass turtles and shit.
Wait, do you see this guy, or is this the guy in? Is this somebody you never see, or is this guy in the movie who's working with Joe Exotic and has all his stuff burned?
No, not that guy. No. That guy's weird too. No. The guy who made Tiger King, like just the guy who's making the show. Well, is mean, into like exotic turtles and shit.
Own turtles, dude.
Huh?
I mean, and yeah. I'm not saying it's not weird, but it's not.
Sorry.
As weird as a
no, but
tiger.
I mean, like illegal turtles, like ones you can't have.
Illegal big, poisonous
well,
turtles.
I mean,
like
technically,
the
even
ones.
Technically, even owns, box turtles are illegal in most places. But
he owns a turtle with human titties. You can't have that kind. It's too much pleasure.
I don't know about turtles. He's got to recognize. The thing that I read is that he's into like exotic reptiles, and that's how he got even close to sniffing like the weird tiger world.
Yo, Joe did those reptiles dirty, though. Is the thing. Like, he has one moment of self-awareness towards the end. I don't want to recap what I said on your other podcast, but, like, he is really mistreating all of these animals, especially the ones who aren't the tigers, because he doesn't really give a shit about them.
Yeah, he doesn't like, care about anything that's not a tiger.
In a version of this, if you accept the narrative that he false-flagged his own crocodile shed or whatever and burnt it to get rid of the film footage, that means he burnt like 20 crocodiles alive as a casualty in his scheme.
Well, the reality show guy though ended up in another situation where something burnt down that like benefited him in some way, like
which
after
one?
He,
oh,
the reality show guy after he left Joe Exotic's zoo, that his house burnt down like a couple months later and he got like a bunch of insurance money from it. So my man be burning shit, all right? All I'm saying
oh, okay.
is free all political prisoners. That includes Joe Exotic.
No, what he is doing is wrong. His,
Joe Exotic
his tiger
is a political prisoner.
Empire is wrong and I refuse to support it. Carolyn is the only righteous actor in this cold
no,
world.
No. Carolyn Calloway is bullshit. She killed her husband.
Wait, is that
so,
her name? Is it Carolyn?
Once again, no, I haven't watched the show yet. I mean, I don't care about spoilers because I know the gist, but I have nothing.
You can
to
kill
trigger.
Your husband if he's bad, and it allows you to have access to his tiger empire. I'm sorry. It sounds like he had to die.
Listen, it's Macbeth rules, okay? You kill the Tiger King, you become the Tiger King.
It's not Carolyn Calloway, by the way. That's the Instagram girl.
I know.
Carol something.
Listen, I was having fun, okay?
My point is it's okay to kill your husband.
Hell yeah.
I'm kind
LP
of like a Black Widow podcaster.
Doesn't LP have a song about that? About just like cheering the woman on for killing her abusive husband? Am I hallucinating?
Probably, that? Yeah. That sounds like some LP shit.
Yeah, it sounds like something he'd do. That sounds like a crazy song he'd do. That guy's nuts, man. He's always rapping about whatever.
Well, fuck you both.
No, it is funny, though. On every Run the Jewels song, like, all of Killer Mike's verses are, like, super political and whatever, and then all of LP's verses are all about just, like, fucking good.
I'm getting my dick sucked.
And this is so funny that we're, like, friends with his wife, and like, every time we listen to those tracks, it's just like, that's my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, and you wait for the segue on the track, too, where it's like, yeah, and speaking of Ronald Reagan, I once got my dick sucked at an Arby's. Damn. All right, are we at the part of the podcast where I call Jeremy my big son in Japanese and then do an
yeah,
anime
damn,
news?
I don't know, man. You're the only one who could see the time.
Okay, we are. Yeah, I think it is that time.
You're in charge.
We're
of these.
Here. For our now weekly Alex Says Something in Japanese thing that we're starting.
Yeah, we call
in
it.
In case that hooked anybody
we call
from
it,
Tuesday.
Japanese Alex, that's the segment.
Yeah, you really, again, the mind of a producer. All right. Jeremy is my big son. Jeremy wa otoko no... Oh, no, wait.
You suck.
This sucks.
Jeremy wa kiku otoko no ko imasu.
Damn. Japanese is a perfect this. Language for you to learn.
And I'm going to master it. You'll see.
With your
and it will
goofy voice.
It will ruin all of your lives. I have been thinking while I listen to the guy like the like voice on tape teach me this that like damn, even if I learn this, they're just going to they're going to be very offended by what my voice sounds like in Japanese.
The thing about you, Alex, is nobody's, even if you do learn it perfectly, nobody's ever going to believe that you know Japanese.
Nobody.
Anytime Not anybody hears it, they're going to be like, he's making that up.
Making it up. Very offensive the way, and it's what a long con. It really sounds like he knows it, but I know he doesn't. so this name. new weekly segment. Okay, time for some anime news.
It's a dark passenger.
No!
Time for a dark passenger. That is not news.
Beep, beep.
The dark passenger.
Beep, beep, all aboard.
Most of them are childless single men who masturbate to anime.
You gotta do both jingles there. all right, so this week brings us back to OneAngryGamer.net.
Oh, yep. No!
Yeah, unfortunately,
reigning champ.
I have terrible news, which is that Legends of Men is just not fun anymore. He's gotten really into, like, Art of the Story, Joseph Campbell-ass shit.
That sucks!
And it's not fun anymore. So now I'm on One Angry Gamer. And actually, a fan sent this to me. I didn't write down their name. the title is Animal Crossing New Horizons Includes Lesbian Reference.
What?
This feels like a very similar article to the last one, but okay.
Yeah, it seems like this One Angry Gamer is angry about one particular thing.
Yeah, well, someone should let One Angry Gamer know that the whole thing is a lesbian reference in the sense that the community just loves it. It's the gayest game on earth, and I love it.
Look, homophobicgamer.com was taken.
All right, here we go. Nintendo is going off the deep end fast, and they're quickly becoming degenerates of the worst kind, influencing kids with LGBTQIA+ agitprop. The most egregious example thus far is in Animal Crossing New Horizons, which includes a segment where Mary references a romantic comedy that includes two lesbian princesses. This is despite the fact that the game is rated E for everyone.
Wait. What is he? Does anyone know what he's talking about?
One of the villagers, Mary, you could talk to her. And so while talking to Mary about comic books, you have the option of telling Mary which style of comics you enjoy. If you ask Mary about romantic comedy, she will respond that she loves romantic comedies, especially one involving Princess of Rocket Boarding and Princess of Explosions. Yes, two lesbian princesses.
Oh my god. Wait. Hold on, I gotta hide my children.
So it's fictional? It's not even referencing a real movie and he's angry about it?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I think this is the most benign shit I've ever heard.
It's really benign, and I can't stress this enough. There is, I don't know, 10 more paragraphs.
Have you pinpointed which ones he becomes truly unhinged? Because we don't, I don't want to read that much.
I've not pinpointed anything. As is typical of the mentally ill millennials that congregate on Twitter, they're praising Nintendo and the game for including lesbian references in a children's game.
I've literally seen no one talk about
Never seen it.
This is the flip side to, like, when we talk about Star Wars and there's a lesbian kiss in the background, you're like, that doesn't seem like a victory for anything. There's just this guy in the corner being like, they've ruined children.
It's just amazing how innocuous this is to literally everybody else. It's not like, if it's agitprop, it's not effective agitprop.
No. I feel no differently about lesbian princesses than I did before.
Now, the typical centrists will jump in and say, and I don't know what he means by centrists. We should look into that at some point, but he says
because
it a lot.
I think he thinks, because his views are so extreme, that he thinks anyone who's like, don't say Jews with a hard J, is like a centrist.
Yeah. It must be that.
What he's referring to is a centrist in the lesbian community is there's three ladies and then one's right in the middle.
That's Lucky Penelope.
Lucky Penelope, she's getting kisses on both ends.
Okay, now the typical centrists will jump in and say, lesbians exist. Why can't they be introduced to kids? And to that I say, well, why not introduce kids to BDSM, scat, and furry fetishes?
Oh my god. Because Scat. It's not a fucking fetish, yeah. You idiot.
Next sentence. Oh, you didn't know? That's right. Lesbianism is a fetish, just like furrydom.
I think it's his...
Can he hear Katie?
I think it's his fetish.
In fact, there's about as many lesbians in America as there are furries, according to Fur Science and the Washington Post.
Well, if you're gonna quote Fur Science, I mean, I gotta take you at your word.
Now, I wanna bring this up because I did do a little bit more digging on this, which is the Washington Post article is referencing the 2010 census, and Fur Science is referencing their own survey, International Furry Survey Summer 2011. A furry site did their own survey of people who would respond to a survey from a furry site.
Hey, here's a joke for 2 minutes ago. Scat, you want me to teach these kids jazz?
Yep.
All right.
So, does that mean that we should be teaching kids about furries in every other media property, or S&M, or water sports? Well, the typical centrists will say, but lesbianism isn't about sexual fetishes.
Does he have a water sports article?
Newsflash. The definition of homosexuality from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary is erotic activity with another of the same sex, meaning sexual activity with the same sex.
Got him. Okay.
That's
it's
not,
in the dictionary.
But that's not what fetish is, my man.
Let me repeat that. Lesbianism is classified by two women having sex with one another. And this is referenced in a game for kids and a conversation about comic books.
There was no sex referenced, though. There was literally no sex in the reference. They said it was a...
It's just two princesses who are in love.
Yeah, they didn't even say they were in love. They say that there were two princesses.
Oh, she says her true love. So it's my favorites about the shredtastic princess of rocket boarding and her true love, the princess of explosions. Could not be more innocuous.
Yeah.
Truly could not mean any less.
Man, this man is not having a chill Animal Crossing playthrough at all.
No, this guy does not understand the vibe.
Why did
this is not an island mentality, I must say.
But, like, this dude doesn't even like Animal Crossing, probably, because it's not TRU gaming.
That's true, too.
That's
yeah,
true.
This is not a game for them. All right, continuing on. Leftists are constantly trying to rewrite history and change definitions to fit their degenerate agenda. And their agenda at
That's
this
true.
Point is to introduce as many kids as possible to their diseased lifestyle.
I'm just really hung up that this guy doesn't know the difference between sexuality and fetish, and it's just very concerning to me.
I'm just hung up that this guy thinks that any reference at all to two women being in love is, like, inherently a sexual mind rape.
Yeah.
He can't think of it without him thinking of it, and so
it's just
that must mean everybody else is thinking of it.
It's the mind of somebody who has been completely brought up on porn. Like,
oh,
the only 100%. Way that he thinks of lesbian is in a sexual context. Like, he doesn't know any lesbians in real life, apparently. Like,
right.
Presumably
same,
because he's
same
one angry
reason
gamer,
he cannot
he doesn't leave the house.
Yeah.
He cannot speak to any step siblings.
You know,
oh,
you're
yeah,
joking.
That's true, yeah.
But
if somebody mentions their
step probably
sibling.
True.
Very filthy subjects by this point. If you have twins, do not show them to him. He has a specific commercial in mind.
All right. They're trying to diddle the minds of little Timmy and Tiny Todd to convince them that drag culture is fine and fondle the imagination of Mini Jane and Small Sally to think that hooking up with one another is A-OK. Except centrists to keep
Stop
defending this constant inching into children's media.
Sexualizing children. Jesus. Also, the use of centrists keeps blowing
is
my mind
so
here.
Wild. Yeah, expect centrists to keep defending this constant inching into children's media in order to finally legalize MAPs, I don't know what that is, and hebephilia
Maps.
Before moving on to legalizing pedophilia.
Wait, Katie, do you know MAPs?
No, I think these are like slangs for like loli fuckers and stuff, but
yeah,
I don't know
what that like
it sounds like, you know, like MRA talk, which like that's more your guys' court than mine.
Yeah, it's my Austin, please stay. unfortunately,
for lonely fellas in Austin.
No, that's what the maps and the song Maps is.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Unfortunately, by the time people begin to push back against this degeneracy, it's going to be too late. Okay. Also, take note that every time they bring up lesbians in kids' media, like the movie Onward, they never talk about how lesbians have a higher than normal rate of domestic violence and spousal abuse.
They never talk about it. That doesn't come up once in Animal Crossing or in the movie Onward.
Again, not an island mentality. Like,
they're never like,
why doesn't anybody beat each other in Animal Crossing?
My book about princess who loves princess also has a discourse on domestic abuse.
Sometimes when we leave the princesses alone, the other princess gets mad.
In fact,
one princess doesn't let the other princess have any other princess friends.
Only
even
one
on
of the princesses
phone.
Has been playing roller hockey, so she's the strong princess.
The
and it's
is,
very
between
one-sided.
The, between the princesses, they don't like if you have a duchess either. in fact, a report from Milo Yiannopoulos from May of 2015 broke down the numbers and revealed that domestic abuse rates are much higher among lesbians than heterosexual couples. Many of the referenced PDF files and data reports have been removed from their host sites, including the, who cares?
Or it's just because Milo Yiannopoulos went broke and he had to delete his shit.
As for Animal Crossing's New Horizons, the game is converged. The English translation removed the male, female, or boy-girl pronouns during the character creation in order to accommodate the whims of mentally ill people who believe that gender is a social construct and that fictional states of being such as non-binary exist. Reality check, non-binary people do not exist. Okay, this is...
Damn, fucking, this is one angry gamer.
This is one angry
but also,
gamer.
It's like a little... Like, I'm sorry, it's a computer blob. It's like the most sexless character I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, truly, they like the amount to which they allow you to customize across what would normally be traditional gaming genders. Like... There's no...
This gamer doesn't seem like he leaves much room to focus on the game either. It's mostly like seeing reference to a lesbian and freaking out and writing a 10-paragraph article about it.
Yeah, I did because somebody sent me this and I didn't save the link. So I was looking for it today and I was just looking at Animal Crossing. I just searched Animal Crossing on his website and everything is about this. Like, I just want to... Here, I'm just going to search it again because I'm...
So it's just like this like 2-second reference that probably didn't register for half the users. And he's just like obsessing
about... He's so
about
furious. This 2-second
That's
reference and then
so
the fact that they don't use
funny.
Gendered pronouns in the character creation part. But
he got shot down by a femme once and he just like never got over. Or just like a girl just lied and said she was a dyke so he would stop hitting on her.
Listen, okay,
well,
so
terrible, terrible consequences for that action.
There is almost no, like, since March 20th, there hasn't been an article about like the game itself. Like before that, there's like, here's how to make quick money in Animal Crossing, right? But since the 20th, Animal Crossing New Horizons English localization removes gender identifiers. Nintendo of America partners with Brie Larson for Animal Crossing's New Horizons. Medium calls Animal Crossing New Horizons Japanese colonialism. Animal Crossing New Horizons includes lesbian reference. Animal Crossing New Horizons and Doom Eternal top UK sales chart. Okay, that's... Oh, but the
Maybe
first
this
line
guy,
is...
Does wait, this wait, guy wait, not wait, know?
The article about Animal Crossing New Horizons topping the UK sales chart. First sentence. Despite Animal Crossing's New Horizons boasting a lesbian reference.
He's talking about it like it's a main selling point of the game. Like, I literally didn't even know about it.
Hey, you like it when ladies kiss? I got something for you.
Also, did that
say... It's called Animal Crossing.
Did he reference a Medium article in that
yes.
headline? He knows that Medium's just like...
Anybody can post
a
anything
blogging
there.
Platform.
I mean, shit, they even let Elizabeth Warren make her announcements on there.
I mean, come on.
It is very funny that she has her own website and she chooses to still put stuff on Medium.
That's how you know.
More people read Medium.
It's true.
Wow. This one wasn't as funny as the last
I'll just end it here. Expect this insanity to continue on because, unfortunately, too many influences are leftists, communists, and part of the bunghole Bolsheviks to warn the general public about what's going on. We've seen them invading other kids' media, such as Arthur and Clifford the Big Red Dog. And now they've taken over.
Ask why he's
Crossing.
Red. Ask yourself.
Just remember, we tried to warn you.
Have you ever noticed Clifford shares a house?
Thanks for the news tip, God of Lore.
Yeah, what I was going to say is that this article was way less entertaining, but also a much larger insight into this guy's life and activities, which is pretty valuable. This is a bigger website, though. Is there a chance it's a different writer?
It very well could be. It has a name at the top here. It's Billy D.
It clearly says one angry gamer.
I know.
Katie, you're 100% right.
I'm very shocked
that
there's multiple writers on here.
I'm just saying that I will feel severely misled.
Wait, what was the last article
more
about?
Than Castlevania.
Okay, let me see.
But fucking.
So this one was Billy D. Castlevania. Billy D. Yeah, it's one angry gamer.
Hell yeah.
And man, is Billy D. mad. About gay stuff.
This is Billy D. Williams. hold on. This is a very important update. David Spector, friend of the show, has texted me, and I quote, "I have an idea for a character for you, Tiger Luther King."
No. What is wrong with him?
Yeah, you should do that, Alex. Put that out in public.
One day, cubs of all stripes
nope,
and colors
nope,
will
nope,
sit
nope,
down in
no,
the
no,
kennel
no,
of friendship
no.
and share no. stag after stag.
No. Yeah, just put that up. Your pedophile island and I'm sorry, pedophile high school, and then you know,
say his name. Pedophile high school. That would be funny if I had like I wrote a whole TV script and I spent like months doing it, and I'm like, here's pedophile high school, and then after that same thread I'm like, and here's a character David texted me. Tiger Luther King, I don't know.
Is this something? Why do you give that to you? You can't do that either. He's
just
as able to do it as you are.
That's a good point. All right, I'm letting him know what made Katie mad.
I know he texted me earlier the article from Politico, AOC breaks with Bernie on how to lead the left, with caption, thoughts? I'm reading a whole ass article for you, David.
He wants
Don't
to
you
want to
give David your thoughts?
He wants to have.
Yeah,
know,
great. I've had plenty of discussion
feelings.
With him. Doesn't need to be sending me whole ass articles to read.
Oh, God. I used to have this really shitty boyfriend who was really insistent that we got a New York Times subscription. Ugh. And that we would read it to have discussions, but then I was the only one who actually read it, and he would get so shitty to me about it. And be like.
He saw that one like, fucking commercial for The Weekender. You remember they used to have that one where the couple is like sitting on the couch and they like trade halves of The Weekender?
He was just like, yeah, I just feel like all we do is like, you know, consume like comedies and video games and comics and stuff. But it's like, we don't really talk about stuff. So we have to read this newspaper.
Bullshit.
Like, he was like 10 years older than me and I was like 21, you know? So I was like, okay.
Dude, I just watched, I just rewatched Clue last night. And I think I gained more from it than from a whole year of New York Times articles.
I would agree. And you know what?
Great movie,
Clue.
Wow, what a fantastic
great Tim Curry
movie.
Performance. You know, it's a reason.
Dude, the last line when he says, I'm going to go home and have sex with my wife, and then it freeze frames on his face. Fantastic. Mwah.
Dude, that movie is a cult classic for a reason. Yeah. It's art.
What a class.
Bit of an update from the David corner. He says he would have taken it. The enemy of freedom is not the Ku Klux Klanner. It is that bitch, Carol Baskin.
Okay.
I guess that's just not as well known a quote, but I really like the the Carol Baskin part.
No,
it is funny how much they hate her.
I get the reference.
Dead at last.
I don't think
that bitch is dead at last.
I just don't think it's good jokes.
No, it's wrong to laugh at doctors. Okay, time to recap G Gundam episode 10, everyone. Put on your hats.
Mommy Gundam!
Yeah, I know we make fun of this show a lot, but this was an exceptionally stupid episode.
Mommy Gundam! I cannot say this enough times! Mommy Gundam!
And who's the pilot of the Mommy Gundam? Oh, another mummy.
A mummy! There's no mummy inside!
Who else would it be? Who else would it be piloting a Mommy Gundam? Don't
when
be stupid.
Episode opened up and they're like, one of the guys' names was Muhammad. I was like, no! And then they're like, also there's a mummy Gundam, and I'm like, no.
I love the Praise mummy Gundam name. Is like covered in cloth bandages, but then like the African Gundam that has like a dashiki, like the dashiki's made of metal, and like the French Gundam with like the half cape, the cape is made of metal. This one has like actual cloth on it.
It's unnatural is what it is. Hold on. We have to start at the beginning, you animals.
Mummy Gundam!
Mummy Gundam, Alex.
His name is Mummy Gundam the Fourth. We start in, I don't know, a large cavern of some kind?
Mummy Gundam.
With three Egyptian Gundam fighters hanging out, telling each other stories, and they're like, hey... Man, remember Dahal Muhammad, the great mummy Gundam fighter? Man, I miss him.
What a unrelated. Cool-ass dude.
Unrelated. Isn't it weird there's this mummy Gundam that's been attacking people every night when there's a sandstorm? Much like tonight. Crash, the wall opens up. There's a freaking mummy.
It's so bad.
Oh, da 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 da. The announcer comes in, and he's in his red suit as always. He's got his eye patch.
Check out this fucking mummy Gundam.
The announcer is in top form this episode. He starts off. He's like, "There's a mystery about with a Gundam pilot as dead as the idea of a." Gundam grave. That's right. It's the Mummy Gundam 4. And its pilot is dead? End quote. But that's just plain nuts! And he rips his eye patch off.
Anyway.
Fine.
The best part is that that's not the end of the monologue. He does that.
No, it just
keeps
just talking.
That's just plain nuts! And then he's like, anyway, so this might have something to do with Domon's brother
right.
stuff.
The Mummy Gundam is friends with the Dark Gundam, so pay attention. And then I was watching that, and I was kind of looking at the snake part in the middle of the Dark Gundam.
I know, it's so distracting.
Between the top and the bottom, you're kind of like, I guess that's, like, mummy adjacent.
It is the ugliest Gundam design
it's
I've
so
ever
bad.
Seen.
Everything
it's
in
so,
this show is so bad.
It looks like dog shit. The show
are there any
looks
Gundams
so
in this
bad.
That are cool? like the, even
the Shining Gundam is cool.
Shining Gundam is just a generic Gundam.
No, because it has a burning finger.
But it doesn't look distinct until it's doing
and
the
it goes
finger.
Super Saiyan when it has emotions.
It's just there's such a lack of cool Gundams in this.
This show sucks.
I will give you there's not very many cool ones yet. Master Asia still has not appeared though. So
okay.
maybe you'll like his Gundam.
Keep going.
Okay. Well, we're starting our episode. Terror of the Phantom Fighter. Which you gotta wonder if it was two sentences, because every other one's been two sentences, and I like it better when they're really long. Okay, so we open on the very people we saw in the intro, and they're lying dead in a big sand pile, and Domon goes over to them and he's like, "It's horrible. Look at the Gundam devastation." And there's a Gundam all destroyed. And he's like, "What happened here?" And there's a guy twitching and he's like, "It was a goddamn mummy Gundam." It showed up and aimed for the cockpit against Article 2 of the regulations and was an undead monster.
Mummy Gundams.
These mummy Gundams, the left will not acknowledge the problem of mummy Gundams.
Mummy Gundams.
You know, if you look back in history, the mummy Gundams are only there to do violence against those who speak out in favor of our president.
Yeah.
You know, anybody.
Look, follow
listen,
the money.
According to the mummy Gundams, okay, anybody who defends the president is suddenly a shining Gundam, okay? It's not fair. We're not all shining Gundams, okay? Some of us had real economic anxieties. That led us to
follow
shining.
A mummy drives the mummy.
Follow the mummy, George Soros. George Soros.
Pull the thread. Pull the bandage. Follow the mummy.
It's a mummy.
I'm gonna have an asthma attack. All right.
Well, we must cover more of this story. So Domon is more moved by this scene than he has been by anything yet to happen in G Gundam.
I know. I'm like, why do you care suddenly, Domon?
He's very sensitive to mummy-based issues. And he turns around, and just on the other side of a sand dune, Rain is like, "Oh, look, there's a freaking Gundam fight over there." And you look, and there's a big sand tornado, and there's the Dragon Gundam, piloted by Sai Saichi, the boy from Indiana Jones Temple of Doom, and he is in Mortal Kombat with some sort of mysterious, hopefully unrelated, mummy Gundam. And the mummy Gundam is aiming for his cockpit, which he reminds us is against Article 2 of the Gundam Federation rules. And so he has no choice but to hit it with a stunning blow where he like spins. So the Dragon Gundam, of course, because it's a dragon, has a flag, a burning flag. And so he spins it really fast and it becomes like a circular chakri of death. And he throws it at the mummy Gundam, which dodges, but that leaves it open. And Dragon Gundam impales the cockpit because he can't see. He can't see in this damn sand tornado, and it just punches the mummy right in the face inside, and he goes, and then sinks into the ground and disappears. And the whole Gundam, like this 100-foot-tall metal machine, somehow sinks into the sand.
It's very emotional for some reason.
Well, Sai Saichi has never taken a life before, despite the fact that when we met him, it seemed like he was constantly trying to kill Domon.
Yeah.
And so he's overwrought with guilt, and the two crews meet up, China and Japan. Sai Saichi is accompanied by his merry men, the two Shaolin monks, and they have to comfort him because he's just a boy and he's very afraid of the mummy.
Yeah, I forgot that his main trait is that he says bro every other word for some fucking reason.
Yeah.
And is this the part where Rain brings up his brother?
Yep, I wrote that down. Okay, so they're trying to comfort Sai Saichi, who is very, overcome with guilt for killing a man and afraid of mummies.
He's like, and, I'm scared of the mummies, the monster squad. Wolfman's got nerds.
They go back and check over the hill and the entire crew for the other Gundam that they saw, which was Egypt's Gundam, is gone. So they're like, it's gone. This must be a ghost. And then Domon logics out. He goes, the only one who could use a tomb to recover would be the Dark Gundam. So the Dark Gundam must know the Mummy Gundam. And then
Because they're friends. Says, they hang out at the same club.
They hang out at the Monster Mash and the Gundam Monster Mash. And Rain goes, huh, does this mean that he must know your brother? And Domon interrupts her to go, shut up. Shut
don't you ever call him my fucking brother.
Right, which is like, literally, that's the whole plot of this show, you piece of shit. It's,
yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, Domon should be yelling at the red jacket
guy. And then she literally goes, oh, okay, I won't do that again.
I'm so sorry. Don't yell at me in front of the monks.
I just love that he's like, he's got this idea in his head now that like, there's no reason to believe that the Mummy Gundam and the Devil Gundam are like the still reason.
There's no reason to think that.
He's got this like, they're both on the Gas Digital Network. They must know each other.
This episode, Domon finds out mummies are real and is completely unfazed.
Means nothing to him.
He does not care that mummies exist, that magic is real. everything he knows is actually untrue.
It's like if Neera Tanden found out that like Dracula was real, and she's like, well, he sucks blood out of the necks of defenseless women. And our president grabs the yep. pussies of innocent women. They must know each other. And then she just moves on and doesn't care about Dracula ever again.
And that Dracula never comes up. The Lion Media won't tell you about these Draculas.
There's no go zones all over Transylvania.
I saw Dracula's celebrating on 9/11.
The night, though. It
because
wasn't
of all the blood.
It was way later.
It was at night. They were happy at night. They saw it on the news and were happy.
That is funny to think of the vampires that like caught up on 9/11 way late.
Oh, whoa. That's crazy.
It was crazy out there.
So they all go to sleep in a camp together. All the Japanese team and the Chinese team. And Sai Saichi wakes up to take a sleepwalk or something. Or
to take a piss.
Yeah.
He's going off to relieve his little bladder. When who should he see
Mummy
but
Gundam!
The very mummy that he thought he had slain?
Mummy! It's a mummy!
And he can tell it's a mummy because it goes...
By the way, this isn't a Scooby-Doo thing where it turns out to be a dude. It's just straight up
a
mummy.
Mummies are real.
Although that does not prevent it from having mad Scooby-Doo energy for a good part of the episode.
Yeah. This feels more like a Scooby-Doo outtake episode than it does a Gundam episode.
It's like a Scooby-Doo episode where just like your cable cuts out at the end before you find out who the mummy was.
So Sai Saichi is very worried and he goes and cuddles up with his monks. And in the morning, the monks explain to him that the reason he's being targeted by this bigoted mummy is that Dahal Muhammad, the third Gundam fight champion, was tragically slain in the fourth Gundam tournament by Sai Saichi's grandfather in a tragic head of the Gundam exploding, which makes the cockpit explode for no reason accident. And because of that, Muhammad's spirit as a warrior came back as a mummy. What else is there you need to know?
Listen, I don't want to say that all Muslims are mummies. But okay. Have you ever seen a mummy that was?
I haven't.
You know, that's true. Great point.
That is eye-opening. Except for, you know, all the pharaohs and stuff. But I feel like they were Muslimic style
pharaohs.
Yeah,
they were, yeah.
Yeah, they if they had the option, they would have been.
If
the religion existed yet.
Yeah, there was such a thing as monotheism back then. Those guys would have been.
Right. And you know the thing, too, is the pharaohs die, but they come back because they want to convert.
That's why mummies exist.
They're just trying to make their way to Mecca, and they can't because of these damn Brendan Frasers. Well, let's get back to
yeah,
it
jihad
here.
Against Brendan Fraser,
ladies and gentlemen, there is a pyramid with this mummy in it. And it was built to celebrate the wonderful Dahal Muhammad, praise be to his name. And so they go tomb raiding, and Sai Saichi is very afraid to go in, and his monks chastise him and say, "You bring shame to our temple. How will the Shaolin temple survive?" And they weep. They weep for the sad state of their temple, which is touted by the young Sai Saichi. So they go in, they take like 5 steps into this pyramid before they fall down a 40-foot shaft with just, I've noted, so Sai Saichi, Domon, and Rainfall, and they say, quote, "Sai Saichi, Mr. Domon, no concern for Rain." Rain can fall down a pit for all these people care.
Yeah,
get her out of here!
So much like fuck you Rain energy in this episode.
Rain's mistake was existing. She has no room.
Yeah, we are 10 episodes
to
in
operate
and she
in the show.
Continues to exist. Come on.
She persists and resists. What can I tell you, folks? They're down there. Wouldn't you know it? This shaft that Domon, Rain, and Sai Saichi have fallen into is the very tomb of the mummy. The same one.
The mummy?
Same one.
The fucking Gundam driving mummy?
That one, the one who came back from the dead with a Gundam that came back from the dead somehow. And so Domon goes, "We got to look in the tomb." And Sai Saichi goes, everything in me is telling me not to open the tomb. And Domon goes, "I'm going to do it." And Sai Saichi jumps on his arms trying to stop him, but he opens it because he's just a little boy. Bit of fun there. The tomb is empty. I mean, did either of you two see this coming?
No.
Right. You'd think a mummy would be in the tomb.
Yeah, you always
expect. But you know what? That mummy has not been sheltering in place. He's been walking around, fucking flying.
Yeah,
it's true.
Listen, when my.
And even though he's not at risk because he's dead, everyone he's touching with these bandages is getting COVID-19.
Listen, he's going to have nobody else to blame when his grand mummy dies.
Oh, my goodness. This is the last episode of this show. I am jumping off a cliff.
Oh, my gun won't work.
This window's locked. I'll try another one.
Hold on, I'm going to see if the window next door works. There's a mummy in there.
Oh, this noose was made of mummy bandage. It's just ripped.
I couldn't afford to get my cyanide capsule put in my teeth because I don't have dental insurance, so I'm just
so
gonna
just an empty drink false
all this
tooth.
NyQuil. See what happens.
Well, Domon doesn't have to wait for his cyanide capsule to kick in because just then the mummy attacks in a kind of cartoonish way where it comes out of a drawing of itself. It bursts through a wall. Again, heavy Scooby-Doo vibes this episode. Oh my god, the mummy! And then Domon does karate to it, and we find out that it's full of like wires and gears, and he's like, this mummy's a freaking Borg!
Fucking mummy Borg.
Yeah. Mummy this is a freaking
inside
mummy Borg.
The mummy, fight the mummy. Mummy, mummy, mummy.
That's true, Katie. Also very interesting here... Also very interesting here is the mummy can do magic.
Yeah,
he is not just back from the dead, but his like he has magic wraps that can really fly and are stronger than humans.
Listen, in a lot of ways, these mummies very similar to Namekians.
Yeah, they have magic powers that can't be explained by their power level. Yeah, they're like magicians, these mummies. And so Rain deals with it by throwing a grenade at the mummy, which is like, Rain has grenades this whole time?
Yeah, the smoothest grenades you ever did see.
To be fair, if she's like constantly in like Gundam warfare, I could see how a girl would need to carry a grenade around.
She is a 10 times kidnapping victim. I fully understand the grenades. And so she blows up this mummy, which in turn blows up the entire pyramid. That is never explained. But Sai Saichi realizes that he must fight this mummy because it is coming for his life, and he is in a fight for his life. So he's got to get in the Dragon Gundam, and he's outside, and the mummy's back in the Mummy Gundam, and it's Gundam time.
Mummy Gundam!
Mummy Gundam! Gonna fight! And so the Mummy Gundam immediately, as you'd guess, wraps the Dragon Gundam in its terrible wraps, and it shocks him. And they say, "Sai Saichi, fight back." And he goes, "No, I'm too scared of the mummy. I
can't." Show fucking sucks.
I can't really do it because of how afraid I am of ghosts and mummies.
Even the most like whack bitch pilot from Gundam Wing, Catra, even Catra would still fight the Mummy Gundam, for God's sake.
Dude, Catra would end the Mummy Gundam.
Gundam
in a
pilot.
Yeah,
all
you
do is
murder people. That's what that's built for.
That's what your whole thing
murdering.
Is.
Murdering.
Mod on these pilots. So the monks give Sasaichi a speech about his grandfather and how he was the pride of the temple, the Shaolin temple, and it inspires Sasaichi, who realizes the mummy, his drive to fight is so strong, he'll even fight as a mummy, end quote. And that kind of gives you an insight as to what the mummy's got going on.
He loves to fight.
He loves to fight, and so you have to fight him. And so Saichi goes, "Gundam fight!" And the mummy goes, "Rego!" And just like, you're not, this is it. This would never pass as a Scooby-Doo episode. No. This shit is off the walls.
This shit sucks so much.
How come the mummy is talking? Sai Saichi immediately makes a fire tornado with his dragon arm, which apparently was an option this entire time, and immediately fucks up this mummy. And he's like, "I did it, my friend. Yeah. Rest in
mummies,
peace."
Don't know if you
and
know
they're
this,
like, surprise.
Made of dry bandage.
Right. They do not do well in a fire tornado. But surprise, wouldn't you know it, the mummy refuses to rest in peace.
Yeah.
And that is all it takes to set Domo the fuck
because
off.
Because the thing you don't realize about Mummy Gundams, underneath all those dry bandages, you've got a core of Gundanium.
You got a Gundanium core.
Fire tornado, and that's going to keep you. Not going to do much to Gundanium.
Fireproof. Fireproof. And also, you know, it's clearly been infected with the dark magic of the Dark Gundam. And so it's able to self-repair one of its three signature traits. This Dark Gundam must be stopped.
Off.
God forbid if this Mummy Gundam self-replicates or self-repairs.
There would just be mummies everywhere.
Exactly. Or self-advances. It's other trait. So anyway, Domon flies out of the sky with a shining finger. It's probably the best one he's ever done, and just blows this thing's head the fuck up. And its head comes back, and then he like goes Super Saiyan because he's having so many emotions, realizing Kyoji made the mummy, that Kyoji is making mummies for some reason. He's going into tombs and giving technology to like corpses and stuff. And that just makes him so mad. He turns gold. The Shining Gundam transforms. He does take this, my rage, my sorrow, and all of
all
my anger
extra
or whatever.
Valves open up all over it that you never saw before.
Right. Valves that are kind of like, you should just have those all the time. It looks way better. And the fucking scene whenever he does the Shining Finger Sword, it's like this cool choreographed thing. And then the last shot before you cut to the Gundam is always Domon like awkwardly from the side as a double take two or three times. It looks like shit.
Yeah.
It ruins the entire sequence.
Show looks like shit. Yeah. It's like so muddy and like confusing and shitty and warped.
But again, even just thinking of his brother is enough for this man to go Super Saiyan in a Gundam, pull a sword out, chop through the entire thing, reach into the Mummy Gundam with his hand, and then crush the mummy to pieces, therefore ending its reign of terror. And then he's like, "There, I killed it because I was mad." And then Rain cries.
Yeah, she's just like, I think she realized she's trapped in this abusive cycle. She's like, "I'm
psycho."
She's like, "That mummy could have been me. I'm next."
He wants to crush me for saying his brother is his brother. Oh my god. Maybe the real mummy was ourselves. But that wraps up episode 10 of G Gundam Terror of the Phantom Fighter. Folks, what are you rating this episode? Jeremy, give me a number.
Fantastic episode. It had everything you want out of a G Gundam episode. It had not at all offensive depiction of Muslim people. It had, for some reason, undead Gundam. It had Domon achieving new levels of pissed offedness and killing a guy who probably had information that would lead him to his brother, the only motivation he has for the whole show.
Oh my god, a mummy torture scene would have really put
really
this over,
put
the
over the top. Yeah, if he did like an Abu Ghraib and like put him in like a fucking black hood and shit.
Oh no! How long can you stay in that little space, mummy?
Listen, you lie to me.
I'm sorry.
I hurt you. You give me bad information. I hurt you. When's the last time you saw Bin Laden?
Oh, you're not afraid of dogs, are you? Because I got six big ones, and they're barking at him, and he's just like,
put on drowning pool for 24 hours.
Yeah, we'll get you to talk.
Yeah, anyway, 2 out of 7 Dragon Balls.
What?
Bad show.
Are you kidding me? The last one last week was bad. You liked it.
Yeah, no, this one was bad in a different way. It was just regular bad.
Oh. All right, I'm going to give it 6 out of 7. I thought it was very fun.
Yeah.
It's a terrible show, and I love to watch it. Katie?
I'm going to go with a solid 5. I was thoroughly entertained, because guess what? I fucking love mummies!
Right. If only... Don't hold your breath for more mummies, though.
I'm
I don't think we're getting any more.
The show is dog shit, generally speaking. But in terms of mummies... Damn, really got my mummies out.
Yeah, you got your fill.
Yeah, shooting mummy ropes or bandages, as we call them.
I'm shooting mummy wraps. Well, that's going to do it for another week behind the paywall.
Woo!
Tune in next week for one of the segments we introduced that we're not going to remember we're doing.
We're definitely forgetting the Japanese.
See you then.
I love to take my baby to a movie show, so I can try to smooch her while the lights are low. But she won't cuddle to a story of romance. There's only one way I've got a chance. It takes the Batman, Wolfman, Frankenstein or Dracula to put her in the mood for love. It takes the cat, girl, dog, boy, creature from the Black Lagoon to make her feel like making love. It takes a monster from outer space to make my baby want my embrace. And when I hold her, she's like a dream. If only she can hear somebody scream. Parking down in Lover's Lane, and lots of moonlight doesn't drive this girl insane. She thinks that dreamy music really is a bore, but I found out what she's looking for. It takes the Batman, Wolfman, Frankenstein or Dracula to make her tender as can be. It takes a cat, girl, dog, boy, creature from the Black Lagoon to get her making love with me. If there's a madman whose teeth are curled, who grows a bed bug that wrecks the world, she gets romantic. It's really quaint when all the other women start to faint.